Good morning, Victory Life Church. Give the Lord some praise, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We are a blessed bunch of folks. I tell you what, beloved, why don't you go ahead and turn to 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 19. We are going to continue our little study this week. Last week we started talking about good King Hezekiah and how evil King Sennacherib and the Assyrians were trying to invade Judah and they wanted to conquer Jerusalem. What we have here, guys, is another hopeless situation. A few weeks ago we studied about King Jehoshaphat and his hopeless situation. The bottom line is, guys, we got to put our trust in Jesus. We live in a crazy time. A lot of crazy stuff's happening. There's a lot of negativity out there. It can be pretty stinking depressing if you watch the news. Okay, but what I'm saying this morning, I'm talking to Christian folks this morning, and if you're not a Christian, hey, why don't you accept Jesus Christ today? What a wonderful, wonderful time. I invite anybody, if you hear this message, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you feel any kind of tugging at all, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We've all fallen short. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. But God made a way for us to be saved. He sent his son to die on a cross. And he died a horrible, agonizing death. And he paid for all the sins of all humanity. And see, the good Lord doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And he made a way for us to be saved. So I invite everybody, I encourage everybody, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Having said that, this message is for Christian folks, man. This is for people that are going to trust in the Lord. This is for people that belong to the Lord. These are for people that have privileges of being in the family. But you can be in that family. You can be in that family today. 2 Kings 19, verse 1 is where we're going to start. We got, last week, we talked about where evil King Sennacherib sent his delegation to the walls of Jerusalem, and they caused this big uproar. They caused a big commotion because they brought a big army with them, and Judea was in a hopeless situation again. So there was a delegation versus the Israelite leaders, or their delegation, on the wall, trying to appease the Assyrians yet again. Well, it didn't get anywhere. So now today, what's going to happen is the Israelites, or the Judeans, are going to relay their message to King Hezekiah, the king of Judea. 2 Kings 19 and verse 1. As soon as King Hezekiah heard it, what are we talking about? The big problem, the fact that there's an army that wants to kill them right outside of the wall, right? There's an army that wants to steal, kill, and destroy that hopeless situation. Okay, everybody, if you can hear my voice, if you can see my face, you're probably going through something. I mean, we do have this coronavirus thing going on, and all the side effects, all the craziness that comes along with that. Some people haven't been able to work in several weeks. Some people don't know how they're going to pay their bills or how they're going to feed their kids. Some people are going through extreme physical battles right now. Whatever you're going through, okay, if you're in the family of God, it's not a hopeless situation. That's the point I've been trying to drive home for 6 weeks now. 6 whole weeks. We put our trust in God. Okay, victory belongs to the Lord, and we are in that family. As soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth. Okay, so back in the ancient days, man, this is what they would do, man, in the Bible days, man. You would know if somebody was having a really, really bad day because they'd tear their clothes, man. It was a sign of, hey, man, I'm not having a good day. It's a sign of sorrow. I want you to know I'm not doing good right now. And then we put on this sackcloth stuff as a sign of mourning. And this sackcloth was extremely uncomfortable stuff. Okay, and they'd wear that around. People would be like, oh, okay. Oh, Joe Bill's not having a good day right now. Okay, so it was an outward sign. I'm going through some tough junk right now. Okay, so that's what's going on. King Hezekiah is, he's in a place of mourning. Okay, they just got ridiculed at the city walls by King Sennacherib's delegation, just saying, hey, guys, if you don't surrender, you're gonna starve in those walls. We're gonna have a siege going on here, and in the end, we're gonna win. But during the meantime, you're gonna get so hungry and so thirsty that you're gonna eat your own poo-poo and drink your own pee-pee. Talking about a bad day. So King Hezekiah having a bad day. As soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Underline that in your Bible. He went into the house of the Lord. Okay. We're in a big mess right now. Okay, But see, we get to trust in the name of our Most High God. We get to trust in the Lord. And let's do that. Let's run into the arms of the Lord. No, we can't all congregate right now, but I think that's going to come to an end soon. I think we're all going to be able to get together really soon and worship, and I'm really excited about that. But dear, in the meantime, the God we served 2 months ago, same God on the throne right now. And we can still run to him. Whether or not you can go to a church building and have church, you can have church in your home. We can all run into the Most High God's arms. Amen? This is what King Hezekiah is doing. He's like, I don't know what to do, but I do know this. I need to pray about this. And that's what we need to do, guys. Having a tough day? Pray about it. Give it to the Lord. Can I get a witness? As soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, bad day, covered himself in sackcloth, bad day, and went into the house of the Lord. Okay, that's what we got to do, man. That changes things, man. Even if your situation around you doesn't look like it's changing, what is Hezekiah doing? He's saying it's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than my God. He's running into the arms of the Most High God. That's what we got to do. Verse 2. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and the senior priest covered with sackcloth to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. Okay, these are the same cats right here that were on the city wall talking with the Assyrians. So these same dudes, they come to King Hezekiah. Hezekiah tears his clothes, puts on sackcloth. He goes to church. And he sends his people that were just at the city wall, say, you go talk to the preacher. You go talk to the prophet. Okay, I'm not just going to pray about this. I want everybody in my circle, everybody that trusts in the name of the Lord, I want them to pray about this situation. And I think that is very interesting right there. He went to Isaiah. He sent people to Isaiah, the man of God. Okay, let me say it like this. If you're going through something, chances are you are, unless you've been living under a rock or something, you're going through something right now. You don't have to go through it alone. We run to the Lord. But one of the ways we run to the Lord is we run to brothers and sisters in Christ. We go to those people that believe the same way we believe. We get godly counsel from them. We get godly advice from them. Amen. Does that make sense? That's what Hezekiah is doing. He's the king of Judea. He's the king of Judah. Sorry, king of Judah. And he's like, nah, I can't handle this on my own. This is a hopeless situation. But I serve an awful big God. So anyways, I want to read James 1 and verse 5. Right here on your monitors, if you're here in the church. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, King Hezekiah is lacking wisdom, he doesn't know what to do, but he's running in the right direction. That's what we got to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. See, this is a privilege, this is a blessing that Christians have, where we can take our burdens to the Lord. And we don't always do that. We try and do things on our own, and it doesn't always work out. And don't get me wrong, we need to do everything we can do on our own power. But when it's bigger than us, guess what? We need to run into the arms of the Lord. We need to seek his counsel. We need to seek godly counsel from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, we don't need to go around griping and complaining, but let me get with a brother and sister who can encourage me and show me in the scriptures what I can stand on. Okay, and James says, in the book of James says, ask God. If you're in a conundrum, you're in a pickle, you don't know what to do, ask God because God wants to help you out. See, God wants to be in that decision-making process in our lives. Quite frankly, you know, he gets pretty tired, I would imagine, of being left out of all the decisions that Christian folk are making. You know what I mean? We are Christians. We do belong to him. And he says, I want to help you make these decisions. So we run to him, and he says, I'm not going to get mad at you. I want to help you make these decisions. Matter of fact, James 1 verse 5 again. If any of you lacks wisdom, that's me, let him ask God, that's what we need to do, who gives generously to all without reproach. Now that reproach, without reproach, that's like, picture a dog snapping at you, man. God's saying, I'm not going to get mad at you. I want to help you out. I want to be with you. You ever asked somebody their opinion and you just caught them at the wrong time and they kind of snapped at you? God's making the point, that ain't me. I'm going to be stoked. I'm going to be excited that you want to hang out with me, that you want to go through this with me, that you want my advice. Amen? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously. That's a wonderful promise. Okay, well, that might be fine for you, preacher, but God don't talk to me. Sure he does if you want him to. If you want him to, all you got to do is get into this word of God. Okay, every single question that you will ever have or have had, the answer to it is right here. And that's not a cop-out. If you're going through something, the good Lord wants to help you get through it. You need wisdom? Ask him. He will show you. Amen? Okay, so Hezekiah sends his group of folks fresh from the city wall. Go get the preacher, man. Go talk to the prophet Isaiah. I can't go through this alone. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be praying. You get the preacher, man, praying too. That's what we got to do. You're going through a storm? Yeah, you're going through a storm. But you don't have to go through it alone. Okay? The congregation of Victory Life Church better not go through something alone. And if you feel like you're going through something alone, then reach out to somebody. Okay? But if we see a need, let's step into that need. I'm not saying pay for somebody's rent. If you can't pay for your rent, I'm not saying take food off of your table and give it to somebody else. I'm saying if you can do something, do something. And at least you can pray with that person and you can show them what the scripture says. Iron sharpens iron. We need to encourage one another. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. Check it out. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? Let me give you a little history right here. This is actually a verse from the study we finished up a couple weeks ago. This is where King Jehoshaphat was being attacked by all that huge coalition of nations. And he's like, God, I'm at a loss. This is a big mess. I got a lot of responsibility. A lot of people are counting on me. And I don't know what to do. But see, listen to this. Check this out. Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? God, you going to take care of this for me? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. These people are bigger and stronger than we are, Lord, but there's one big difference. We belong to you. Amen. That's the difference between you and the rest of the world. We belong to the Most High God. If we are servants of the Most High God, if we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we don't have to be hopeless. We don't have to be helpless. We don't have to be full of fear and anxiety. Amen? Amen. For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. Listen, we do not know what to do. You ever felt like that? I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. That's what we got to do, church. That's what we got to do, Christian. That's what we got to do. Anybody that hears this, okay, a year from now, a month from now, tomorrow morning, it doesn't matter. You don't know what to do? Run into the arms of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He can make a way where there is no way. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Give him some praise. I'm going to enjoy some of the spring water. Thank you, Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the secretary and the senior priest covered with sackcloth to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. So when these cats get to Isaiah, you think Isaiah is going to know they're having a bad day? Of course he is. Okay, I'm sure he's already heard the news about the army that is on the other side of the wall and the big commotion. And, you know, King Hezekiah, he was very embarrassed about this situation. Those guys were talking in the Hebrew language, mocking the one true God, saying how they were going to decimate everybody, how Jerusalem was going to be another city that was easy pickings for the Assyrians. Okay, so anywho, all God's people said anywho. Anywho. 2 Kings 19 and verse 3, they said to him, the cats that want to go see the prophet Isaiah, they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Guys were humiliated. The king's been humiliated. The king's in church right now praying. Isaiah, we need you to pray too. We're all in this together. And you know, Christians, nobody should ever go through anything alone. We are in this stuff together. Amen? It's not just something you say. We are family, okay? We have the same daddy. All right? That's the one thing that might be the only one thing that a lot of us in this church or any church has in common. The fact that we love Jesus. But that's all we need. We can build off of that. We all have different backgrounds. We've all done different heinous things when we were younger. We all have this temptation and that temptation that we're dealing with. We all got these skeletons in our closet and all that, but we're all different. But we have this in common. We belong to the Most High God, and we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus. They said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress. We're humiliated, man. And then he gives this example. This is what the guys say to Isaiah. Children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. In other words, we've been in this fight, man. We've been in this thing with the Assyrians for a long time now. We've tried to appease them. We've been in one fight after the other. They were down the road. Now they're here. And as we get to the end, I don't see any hope, man. It's like a woman that has no more strength at the end to deliver her children. That's a bad thing, especially in that day and age. Okay? You see what I'm saying? This was a hopeless situation. The point they're trying to make to Isaiah here. Let me read Matthew 11 and verse 28. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, that is a verse that we read all the time when we're talking about leading people to Christ, when we're encouraging people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's exactly what's going on here. But I'm talking to Christian folks right now that are just tired of being cooped up in their house. They're tired of not knowing how they're going to pay their bills. They're tired about everything that's going on. They feel like it's just out of control. It's bigger than them. They don't know what's going to happen. Okay? God says, bring that to me. Run to me. Give me that. You're not meant to carry these burdens. Christians, we don't have to carry this mess. Matter of fact, God wants us to be level-headed. God wants us to have peace. So as we go around doing the thing, we can encourage one another. We can encourage our brothers and sisters. We can have peace when God gives me peace and God wants me to have peace. When I see one of my brothers and sisters suffering and going through a hard time, I say, hey, let me tell you what, you need to trust in Jesus because he'll never leave you or forsake you. That sounds good to me. Okay, Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You're tired of just carrying all this weight around. Give it to God, and I will give you rest. That's an awesome thing, man. Okay, give your burdens to God, he'll give you peace. Give your burdens to God, he'll give you peace. And when you give them to him, don't snatch them up again, all right? Okay, back to our story. They said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress and rebuke and of disgrace. Like children coming to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. Verse 4. It may be that the Lord your God heard all the words of Rabshakeh. That's the cupbearer, dude. That's the translator guy for the Assyrians. God heard all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living God. Okay, if you're into writing in your Bibles, underline the living God right there in your Bible, because that's the difference between the Assyrians' gods and everybody else's God. Okay, what they're praying to, what they're putting their trust in are demons, false gods. Okay, now what we have here, we serve the one true God. And that's the point that Hezekiah is trying to make to Isaiah. Maybe God, our God, the one true God, the living God, heard what they were talking about and how they were trying to mock our God, okay? And will rebuke the words that the Lord your God had heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. Hezekiah is like, man, Isaiah, I'm going to be in church. I'm going to be praying. I need you to pray too, brother. I can't go through this alone. We got to go. I need you, man. And there's a big difference between us and those cats out there, man. Even though they ain't losing battles, they're conquering people left and right, and our kinfolk up in Israel, they got a hold of them too and beat them, but they were into hardcore idol worship. Okay, and here, this remnant, us left in Jerusalem, us left in these, the people that are just hanging on. Looks like we're in a hopeless situation. Looks like we're in the end. But man, our only hope is God. And see, that's okay, man. That's okay. If you're in a situation, I've been in lots of times, I've been in situations where like, I can't do this. This is bigger than me. I don't have the money for it. I don't have the patience for it. I don't know what I'm going to do, but my eyes are on you. When we do that, that allows God to do his thing. When I give my burden to God, when I trust in God, that allows God to do what he wants to do in our life. Okay, moving forward. Well, actually, let me enjoy this delicious spring water. I want to read 1 Samuel 17:45. It's a little David right here. Because this is a little verse that David says as he's facing Goliath. Another hopeless situation in the natural, right? I'm talking about a giant, big dude, like 10 foot tall or something like that. Versus a little kid, little shepherd boy, you know. Trained warrior, been fighting for years and years and years. And here's this little kid. Well, what's the big difference? What's David got that Goliath doesn't have? He's got trust in the Most High God. He knows who his God is. That's what we got to do, Christians. That's what we got to do, beloved. We have to get to the place where we say, man, my God can handle this. And not just say it, but get it in our heart. Man, my God can handle this. All right? He's big enough for this. Goliath, you're real big. You're real nasty. But you ain't as big as my God. And you ain't near as powerful as my God. Took them just a week to make the moon and the stars. That's the God we serve. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45. Check this out. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin." That's a good point. Goliath, you got a spear, got a javelin, you got a sword, got a shield, got an armor bearer, you got all that stuff, and you know how to use it. You're a merciless killer on the battlefield. Everybody knows that. That's why none of these cats on my side come down and fought you yet. Okay, but there's a big difference between you, Goliath, and me. I belong to the Most High God, and you have been mocking the Most High God. Same situation here with Assyria. They've been mocking the one true God. They think, well, this God in Judah, this God in Jerusalem, he's going to be like any other God. Yeah, he's done some crazy things, some wild things. We've heard the stories. Okay, but listen, we're Assyrians. We don't lose fights. You know, pride comes before a fall. Can I get a witness? 1 Samuel 17, 45, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you." What did David have? Slingshot, five little rocks. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." Think about that, guys. We don't have much longer to go here in this service, but think about that. Here's little David. He realizes something that we talk about all the time. I'm not alone. I belong to the Most High God. The Most High God is with me. So yeah, if you were to look at this situation, it would be pretty scary because you're a big, strong assassin, killer, murderer dude, and I'm a little kid, but I'm not alone, man. The Most High God is with me, and he's in charge of the armies of heaven. What a wonderful thing for us to grab a hold of. Man, I don't want to go in Dollar Barn. I don't want to go in Dairy Freeze. It's scary right now. And you're not going alone. You're with the Most High God. Amen. Can I get a witness? Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." See, there's the thing. Goliath, if you had a personal relationship with the creator of the universe, that'd be a little different. But you don't, man. You don't belong to him. You worship pagan gods. You worship false gods. Okay? And you've been mocking, you've been trying to make fun of my God. Okay, that's a big difference. We trust in the name of the Lord God, and our God can do all things. Give him some praise. All right, let's go to the next slide, Clyde. 2 Kings 19, in verse 5. When the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, we all know who Isaiah is, mighty man of God, prophesied so much about the Messiah and all the Messiah would go through. He's you'll see him a lot in the Old Testament. He's a mighty man of God. It's worth doing a Bible study on Isaiah alone. Okay, verse 6, Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, say to King Hezekiah, thus says the Lord." Remember that. Remember that, guys. Thus says the Lord. Doesn't matter what King Sennacherib and his lackeys say. It doesn't matter what some false god said. Okay? That stuff doesn't matter. Okay? This is what the Lord says. We trust in the Lord. He has the ultimate say. Amen? That's actually really, really good news. Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, thus says the Lord." I can trust in the Lord. Okay, I can't always trust in the news. I can't always trust in the newspaper. I don't know who's telling me the truth and who's lying and who ain't. Okay, I'm trusting in God. Thus says the Lord, "Do not be afraid." Well, that's easy for you to say, Isaiah. You're the preacher, man. No. I'm not going to be afraid because I'm trusting in God. Like little David, who was facing this giant, he didn't hide either, man. Cool thing about David, he didn't hide behind a tree and was trying to get little shots off. No, man, he ran toward Goliath because he's like, my God is with me. My God is on my side because you're making fun of my God. You're about to get put in your place. Anywho, God is good. Got it. Yeah. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Thank you, brother. Alrighty, what's going on? Oh, yes, Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled me." This is God's message through Isaiah to Hezekiah. Don't be afraid because of these guys talking like that, man. Okay, I heard that. I took notice. They're mocking me. Okay, when somebody comes against God's people, they're coming against the Most High God. Listen, when somebody comes against God's people, they're actually fighting against God. What an awesome, awesome thing, man. Okay, do not be afraid because of the word that you have heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled me. Verse 7, behold, I will put a spirit in him, Sennacherib, evil king Sennacherib. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. That's pretty specific, man. That's a hardcore right down the line prophecy. This is what God is saying through Isaiah to be reported back to King Hezekiah. Hezekiah, don't freak out, man. Hezekiah, don't worry. Yeah, there's an army out there. Yeah, they're saying all these scary things and all that. But listen, I'm the Most High God. You belong to me. And a matter of fact, check this out. Something's about to happen. Evil King Sennacherib's going to get a message. It's going to freak him out. And he's going to leave the battlefield. He's going to go off in a different direction. And when he's in the hometown, when he's visiting the folks and he's in his own temple to his false god praying, he's actually going to get murdered, okay? And that stuff actually happens. What I'm trying to say, you can trust in God. We have a whole book of history where God makes promises and it comes to pass exactly how he said. So when God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, okay, I can rest assured that I'm not going to be the first righteous to be forsaken. Can I get a witness? All right. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, I want to close with this, guys. Psalm 1 and Victory Life Church congregation, we've been reading the book of Psalm all month long. I hope you've been blessed because you got to be blessed if you spend time in the Psalms. Going through a hard time, Psalms are awesome for encouragement. Just want to share a few more verses in closing. We're leaving our little story for now with Hezekiah and evil King Sennacherib. Psalm 1. In verse 1, blessed is the man. Raise your hand, everybody at home, everybody in TV land, raise your hand if you want to be blessed. You want to be blessed, raise your hand. Well, here's some advice, and it's not advice from Peter Paul. It's not advice from your grandmammy. Okay, this is advice from the Most High God. So this is advice we need to listen to, that we need to obey. Amen. I want to be blessed, or you can take blessed, interchangeable. Blessed is interchangeable with happy. Man, I want to be happy, man. It's been 2 months and 17 days since I've been happy because of the corona. Listen, man, that doesn't have any control over that, man. I belong to the Lord. I can have peace no matter what I'm going through. Everybody talking to that funny voice at home. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Beloved, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you're taking advice from, man. You can watch 30 seconds of the news and just freak out, man. All right? Take it with a grain of salt, man. Trust in the Lord. Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? Amen. Verse 2. But his delight. So I'm going to be very attentive with who I take my advice from. Okay? Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You want to be blessed? Be careful who you take advice from. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights in the Bible. He delights, or she delights, in spending time in the Word of God. Because you know what happens when you spend time in the Word of God? Your faith gets strong, man. And you can hear some negative, crazy stuff. And yeah, that's not what the Bible says. I'm trusting in the Most High God. Because little David could do it, and he came out all right. Daniel could do it, and he came out all right. Well, what if you do and it don't come out all right? No, you'll come out all right. You might not come out the way you think you need to come out, but you'll come out the best way. You'll come out the way God needs you to come out. You trust in God, it's going to work out. Can I get a witness? It might not work out the way you want it to. Work out better than you can imagine, though. True story. Okie dokie. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So be careful who you take advice from, church. Right? Be careful who you listen to. Don't be talking negative. Don't be one of them people that's always talking negative. Spend time in the Word of God. Meditate on the Word. Chew up the Word of God. Think about what the Bible says. Don't just read it, but think about it and then obey it. Okay? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I want to encourage everybody that's part of this church, spend time in the Bible, man. Spend time in the Bible. Even if you don't know how to read, or you don't like to read, or you think you're too busy, you can listen to the Bible when you're driving around. You can get the Word of God into you, and it's only going to be good for you. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. And on his law he meditates day and night. Spend more time thinking about what God says versus what man says, okay? And this is what's going to happen to you. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. I'm no gardener. I don't even have a green thumb, okay? I'm not, that's a stupid joke. I'm not going to do it. I'm learning. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I ain't no rocket scientist, but trees, plants, they need water. Okay, so when I spend time in the Word and I'm trusting in the Lord, guess what? I'm going to have everything I need to be what I need to be. Amen. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves does not wither, and all it does, and all that he does prospers, man. You want to be able to rise above all this nonsense? You want to be blessed? You want to have peace? You want to have joy during this crazy time? Get in the Word of God. Be careful who you listen to. Stand on the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Be obedient to the Word of God. And you're going to have peace. And you can spread that peace to others. Oh, thank you, Jesus, Lord. Bless this group of folks, Lord. Bless this congregation. Your will be done in our lives. We love you and we praise you. Thank you that we're not going to give in to fear, but we're going to trust in you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. I want to encourage everybody to...